one day.
It was a little warm. Got a little toasty up there.
What was the vantage point like, and how was it to coach in that kind of?
You know, you really couldn't see. You couldn't see the jersey numbers. So the personnel groupings was a little bit challenging to see. You know, who was running on and off field because you couldn't see jersey numbers.
Are you relying then for like the guys that you have on the field that are communicating with you? Are you relying more on? Did they have better visibility?
Yes, they did. Yeah, you could see better down there. And then they weren't doing a whole lot of different personnel groupings because of the severity of the weather. So it wasn't a challenge. But we could not see from up there.
At what point could you see?
Probably end of the second quarter, early third. I mean, when it slowed down a little bit, then you could tell what was happening.
When you're looking at the photos and different personnel groupings and plays, I mean, was that hazy as well? Or?
Yes, it was. The still shots were almost impossible to look at because it was whited out. You could see a little bit. You could see alignments, but you weren't positive of what was happening.
Bill, there's a theory that on a slippery field that the offense has the advantage because they know where they're going. The defense has to react. What did you do in the second half to neutralize that?
Well, I think our players, and it really comes back to our equipment staff, did a great job, and I think they're kind of overlooked. They did a great job of helping the players get the right cleats. It's not necessarily the longest cleats. It's the right cleats as the inches were piling up, things were changing constantly. Then it wasn't coming down on us. And how were the conditions changing? And our equipment guys did a great job helping the players. And then the players adjusted. You know, we did a lot of communication with the secondary in particular about, you know, what's the footing like? What coverages are you feeling more comfortable with? How is pressing them? How do you feel when you press them? How do you feel when you're off? So all those things factor in when the weather's like that.
The defensive line for their base tech, using their base techniques and not getting pushed off the line and allowing the linebackers to make plays. Can you talk a little about how important that is in this scheme for those guys to hold up, to hold up blockers and to free up those linebackers?
You know, one of the things I think we were most proud of as a staff was the fact that our players didn't focus on the conditions. They kind of went back to their training, and that's what Chip is talking about. Our D-line did a great job using technique with their feet underneath them, with their cleats in the ground. And the linebackers did also. Everybody kind of went back to the fundamentals and said, okay, we know the footing isn't great. Let's see if we can make the most out of it. And the linebackers used good footwork, and the DBs were playing out of their pedal. Everybody kind of fell back to the technique and the training when the weather went like that on us, and I think it showed it. It helped us stop the big plays. You know, we every now and then they're going to make a play, we're going to make a play, but we lessened how many big plays happen.
Bill, precision elements played a role in that, but the Lions still moved the football, and even so, Calvin Johnson only had 49 yards. What did you guys do to kind of take him out of the game?
Well, our corners, we didn't do as much as we would have had the weather been better. We felt the weather was going to kind of help a little bit there. Throwing it downfield, as you saw early, was a little bit challenging because you had a little bit of wind with the snow. Our corners did a great job playing them. I think that the rush was good. We had a little bit of pressure on the quarterback. So there wasn't one thing. I think the players playing, stepping up and playing the technique and handling him with limited, you know, they didn't throw at him a whole lot either. And their game plan was a little bit different.
Since that Denver game, it's been 9 games of 21 or fewer points, longest streak in the league. And that was also when you said, trust me, this is going to work out. What did you see that was not evident to everyone else?
All I meant, and we as a staff, we continually do it. I mean, we are nowhere near where we want to be yet as a defense. But all we were talking about was the techniques that we're talking on a play-in and play-out basis, the footwork, the alignment, the hand placement, are they improving each week? Now, the results come out different every game. It's such a collective team game. But as defensive coaches, we're looking at what we're teaching and what we're coaching. Is it growing? Is it getting better? And what we saw in that Denver game is it was, although we weren't playing the overall defense we wanted to play at that point. But there was enough little things that were moving forward that we were encouraged by.
Bill, as you head into this game, does the health of Anthony Peterson play into your game planning?
We prepare like everybody's healthy. We prepare that all people that are in question, we don't know they are healthy, we're going to get their best, all of them are up, and we're going to prepare that way. And then we'll adjust as the week goes on, as we get in more information, just like we would during a game, Merrill. If something happened to one of those guys during a game, we would adjust accordingly, like we did in this game when all of a sudden at the last minute Reggie Bush wasn't up. So you just kind of prepare for all of them and then adjust as you go.
You used Connor the last couple of weeks on Fitzgerald and Calvin, as far as taken away those slants by having him bump them off the line, regardless of where they lined up. I mean, you've been happy with the way that's working, and is it? I mean, you see using it long term particularly on bigger receivers like that.
You know, every game presents different challenges for what they present and how they're trying to use their weapons. That is just one tool that we have, in some of the calls that we have, where we can detach an outside backer. It's the beauty of a 3-4. Every now and then, you can take those guys that they've, you know, at this point in time, they're comfortable out there. They're in a space earlier in the season, they weren't as comfortable. Now their comfort level helps you do that more. And it's, again, what challenges is the opponent facing us with their star, either receivers or running backs, and what we can do. And that's part of the why we like the 3-4s, the versatility of those outside guys.
Where did that idea come from? Was it something that you did in the past, or is it just something that you like with Connor Barwin doing specifically?
With the 3-4 scheme, we've done it in the past a little bit, but it's kind of the scheme that we've put together here as a defensive staff. And we've talked early on about putting them out there wide. Jerry Azanero and the Oregon staff did it quite often when they were in at Oregon. So it was part of an element that that some of the guys have been part of. And it's really a good concept. You're not putting him in harm's way. He's not carrying the vertical in any way, but he gets a reroute. And it's still challenging for them to run that side also.
What is your message to your team or your defensive players to try to turn the page and move off of Sunday's game to, you know, the task at hand?
The message, and we just got done with the guys, is all about Tuesday. And that's been the mantra all the way through, is Tuesday. Can we out-prepare and out-work and out-meet and out-train and out-recover the Vikings on this Tuesday? And we do that one day at a time, focusing on our corrections from the last Sunday's game and moving on to the introduction of the Vikings, and just throw everything into that one day and the things that we can control. We say it over and over again, let's control what we can and forget about the rest.
You always emphasize the point that you're the only team working on Tuesday, but this is a day for you to get ahead of everybody else?
Yes, we have, and we think that is an advantage to us, because I think we get a little bit of a head start on getting in here Tuesday and getting some of the kinks out of the Sunday soreness.
Nothing else, a psychological advantage to the idea that they're working and everybody else isn't.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Think that Michael Kendricks would be more effective in a 3-4 playing it inside there, as opposed to pretty good last year on the outside in a 4-3.
You know, everyone thinks that 3-4 inside backers have to be these monsters, and they really don't. There's different ways you can protect by simply moving techniques of your D-line. So good football players will fit into any scheme, and Michael's a good football player. He's a very good athlete. We knew that we could, you know, move him around a little bit inside. We could play him both to the tight end and away. We do that a lot with our defense. Michael's a good football player first, and then we find ways to use him and make him, you know, benefit us.
At what point did you see it start to click, where the scheme and the personnel lined up the way you wanted it to?
I think each week it's grown a little bit. It hasn't grown a lot in any one week. I think it's just grown a little bit. We're staying the course as a defensive staff with what we're asking them to do, the way we're asking them to practice the techniques in the individual period, from how we meet, for when we meet, and how long we meet. The little things that we demand of them and work at is really what's showing up on Sunday game tape. So we're just staying the course, and we're getting a little bit better at a time, and we're nowhere close to where we want to be or need to be.
Do you expect to have Earl Wolf back on Sunday? And if so, like, how do you kind of work him back in?
Earl is day-to-day, so we're just kind of taking that as it comes. We'll continue the reps that I believe Earl gets to go try a little bit today. And, again, we'll see his response to the injury and the recovery. It's day-to-day. I really can't answer that for Sunday.
A couple times that you guys are nowhere near where you want to be defensively. Can you just expand on that? I mean, the stats have been obviously very good over the last 9 games, but what do you see in terms of what needs to continue to improve?
Well, I think our third down has to improve. Our red zone, I know the red zone is solid right now, but it can be better. Disappointed we gave up the touchdown, you know, after the turnover the other night. There's just so many little things that we can communicate better on, that we can be better in our fundamentals. There's just so much growth out there. You know, our run defense is getting better and better each week. Keeping the deep balls and the big, you know, extra yardage plays off of us is getting better as we go. But we're nowhere near the top of the NFL with a lot of those statistics, so you can always grow. You know, the points allowed is the number one thing we're focused on, and we're continuing to try to drive that down lower and lower. And the next 3 weeks, we've got some of the top offenses in the NFL right now as far as scoring coming our way. And so we've got a heck of a challenge in the Minnesota Vikings in that scoring offense.
You mentioned Reggie Bush and finding out that he wasn't going to play. Did that alter what you expected to do against them? And if so, If so, how?
Well, the first part, had the conditions been normal, it would have been a big change for us. But the weather conditions dominated our conversation at that point. Yeah, Reggie was out, but how much were they going to be able to use Reggie in that, you know, the blizzard-like condition? So it did affect some of the calls that we had up. If Reggie was going to be there, you just kind of drop a couple tools we were going to use. You just say, okay, we don't need those tools now because Reggie's not in, and then the weather condition kind of dominated. So
we saw Shady, you know, you guys altered your offensive plan, and Shady went crazy. They could have maybe done the same thing with Reggie. How much did his absence, do you think, affect the game, considering the kind of year he's having?
He's having a great year. I really don't know that in those conditions that he, you know, it's tough to answer that question, but I think he's a great player, and anytime you lose a great player, obviously your plan is going to adjust a little bit.
Two more guys?
You guys haven't given up a score on an opening possession in, like, the last eight games. How important is that to establish confidence early in a game and make a stop, on that first possession?
The first possession is very important. I think it does help the confidence. I think you're right there. But every possession, there's about 12 possessions per game on average that we know we have to stop, and we're working hard at all 12 of them, you know, trying to stop one of them at a time, knowing that 12 is a number. The first one helps get the confidence and the momentum going, especially against these teams that have all these weapons that you have to defend. Yes. Thanks, guys.